doing?
It's our new intro. The Skyrim intro. Because I am the Dova King. I am Sean, Dova King, your guide on this episode of the We Are Adult Show. My house Carl, Daniel, Backpack Man, how are you?
Dude, I don't even get, I'm Backpack Man?
That's basically, if you've ever played, I know you haven't played Skyrim, but, yeah, when you get, like, if you're, like, do enough, like, missions around, like, a certain settlement, they'll, like, make you, like, Thane, and they give you a house, Carl, that protects your house, or goes on adventures with you, but really, all you're good for is just carrying extra stuff, so that way I don't have to go back to town as fast to sell stuff. So that's why you're a backpack man. The house, Carl.
Do I at least get to, like, slow you down when you're trying in a hurry to get places, like if you're trying to run and I'm just moping slowly behind carrying the shitty backpack?
No, you'll just catch up after I like travel into a new instance. But you are very good at standing in the way of a door that I'm trying to get through.
Okay, at least I'm helpful.
You're just like, I got the chest, I turn around and you go back through the hall. Alright, can you move to the side? Alright, we're not social distancing. What are we doing here? Come on, like I'm literally gonna start slicing you if you don't move out of the way.
Oh man, those are the best NPCs that just get in the way that don't die.
Exactly. It's like the
I know you, but
it's like you fucking block me for 10 more seconds and you're dying, or at least you're at least gonna like do the animation where you die but you fall to your knee and you like you're just taking a big breath of like whew, like you just went like 10 rounds with Mike Tyson, you're just out of breath, and then you'll come back up with low health and keep fighting.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say that he was an oxygen thief.
Probably that too.
It's like, did you ever watch the Jan Silent Bob, or the Clerks animated series, I mean?
No, I didn't watch it.
There was an episode where Dante Randall and Jan Silent Bob get locked into the freezer at the Quickie Mart.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay's, like, freaking out. I mean, not Jay, but Randall's, like, freaking out, and Dante's trying to keep him calm, and he's like, but they're stealing all our oxygen. And, like, Randall's not stealing all our oxygen, and they look over at Jay and Silent Bob, and they're, like, taking the deepest breaths possible. Yes.
Oh, that's
that's also like you can have this one for like your employees, but that's also like a nice just insult for somebody that doesn't do anything but stand around and just breathe all the air that other people should be breathing. They don't work.
That's what I might start doing that. Do I just pay you to breathe?
Exactly. Are you just an oxygen thief, like, stealing all this air that everyone else that's working needs because they're working hard and have to breathe a bit more?
Oh, man. Man, it's weird, Danny. Everything is starting to, like, open back up. Like, now, over out here in New Jersey, you know, in the next 2 weeks, they're starting to open up. You could eat at a restaurant as long as it's outside and, you know, it's every other table. Other non-essential businesses are opening. And then in another 2 weeks after that, it's like you could go get a hair. You could go out in public and get a haircut now and whatnot. And then in Ohio, they just after the state was about to be sued by a couple of the entertainment industries like Cedar Fairs, which owns Cedar Point, and then this giant, I don't know like how big they are, but it's like a indoor water park. They were like teaming up with Cedar Fair to do this, to get them like to open up. So it was like literally a day before the lawsuit jumped in, they're like, yeah, in 2 weeks we're going to open up amusement parks.
Well, I know like Walt Disney World isn't going to open up until July, but they haven't made an announcement on Disneyland.
Yeah.
But I know, like, in at least in Southern California, like, you've been able, at least in Riverside County, you've been able to get haircuts for, like, a week now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, the place where I go, like, they do, it's one of those men's grooming facilities where they do, like, hair, beards, and then, like, you get, like, a beer, or if you want a beer while you're getting your haircut.
Nice. Do you have to wear a mask while you're getting your haircut?
Now the rules are that they can only do haircuts, and you have to wear a mask, and they're not doing beards yet, because, you know, it's kind of hard to do a beard if you're wearing a mask.
It's just like, okay, ready? I'm going to take the mask off and start trimming. Ready, one.
Exactly.
Quick, be quick with the beard.
But, like, they say, like, you know, don't show up super early before your appointment. You can only go on. You have to wait outside until it's time for your appointment. Nobody else besides the person getting the haircut is allowed inside. So
I feel like all that is very legit. Like, I'm very satisfied with those,
right?
With those rules, you know, because I think you could definitely, like, get a haircut. It was kind of like funny because it was like, somebody brought it up. So, you know, what we'll just be generous. Like, so maybe like every 30 minutes, you know, you do a haircut. You know, 20 maybe. So that's like, what, 2 or 3 people per hour? So it's like 20, you know, at the end of the day, you're talking about 24 people you're going to come in contact with. But then, like, at the any kind of, like, store, it's just, like, hundreds of people per hour just roaming around.
Right, but at least out here, I don't know about in Jersey, they put up, like, the plastic shields between us and cashiers at the grocery stores.
Yeah, I've seen that. Even like at Rite Aid and stuff, like they have the shield.
The all you can eat buffet spit shields. The sneeze shields.
Yes.
Oh man, yeah. It's pretty funny though. Like because like also they're all able to open up like places of worship. So the church that I go to, they like next week they're gonna reopen and you can it's gonna have 149 people allowed, so 100 in one building and like 49 in the other.
Uh-huh.
And then they're gonna, but you have to basically like RSVP so they know how many people are showing up in each group, so they can like set up chairs spaced out mm-hmm. based on the size of the group showing up.
Got you.
And then you have to wear a mask and like basically like they're gonna have every other parking spot in the parking lot like blocked off with cones, which they shouldn't necessarily need because it's a huge parking lot. So if only 100 and unless every person at 149 is bringing their own car, that shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, maybe their kid is bringing their big wheel.
Maybe. I did see one of those Karen videos of a lady complaining that these kids were driving around a park in a Power Wheels without proper like permits or paperwork or whatever. Like they needed
Power Wheel license. A permit? Child, do you have your license for this? Do you have insurance for your big wheel?
It's required in the state of California that you need to have both a driver's license and insurance to drive any vehicle. Do you have that? I'm 4.
Google. This baby is driving illegally.
Oh, man. You know, speaking of the police, you know, right now, you know, as we're like, I guess, getting over the COVID, new fun is happening with protests everywhere against the police.
Yeah.
I just want to say 2 things about that real quick. One is I saw somebody tweet, you know, if the police didn't do anything wrong, nobody would have written songs about them. Nobody's ever written a song called Fuck the Fire Department. And the other was, you know, all these businesses on last Tuesday were putting up posts on social media in support of the movement of Black Lives Matters and you know, justice for George Floyd, including our friends over at Founders that kind of got called out on that bullshit. They're like, wait, you care about the Black Lives movement, huh? And you care about justice for George Floyd? Have you done anything about how you treat your employees, though?
Hey-o.
Oh man, yeah. So my thing is like, if you hadn't done anything for the cause before, like I don't think an Instagram post or so Facebook post or Twitter tweet is going to change it if you're not going to do anything about it after, right?
I mean, it's like sending, it's like thoughts and prayers across the way, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, at least when I bought my Australian Destiny shirt, like I donated money to their fire department, so.
Right. Or the Altogether, or the Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that with, like, I hope that if it goes nationwide, I'll definitely, we'll talk about it on the show, but there's a brewery in Long Beach that came out with a beer that's supposed to raise money for the, bail funds or the NAACP, but it's, called Black is Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so, is it, too much to ask that it's like an Imperial Stout or Porter?
I know, right? It doesn't say, it is an Imperial Stout.
Nice. Did they do anything fun with it?
I don't know. It might just be a solid. Yeah, they're donating money to the Support Justice and Equality of People in Color. Is that fun enough for you?
That was always the fun part. I just figured, I was wondering if they like added anything special to the grain bill or anything.
It doesn't say. Like the post just more talks about why they're doing it. And then the can just has written on it that it's a 10% Imperial Stout.
Gotcha.
And so maybe they didn't add any adjuncts just because they wanted to, if they do share the recipe, they want to make it easy for other brewers to follow the recipe.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but they haven't said anything about them sharing the recipe, which is how, like, you know, Altogether and Resilience and all the other breweries raised the money, as it wasn't one brewery in Long Beach.
Correct.
Trying to raise it was every brewery throughout, you know, basically the country or world, even in case of the Australian one. So, speaking of which, Sean, I'm drinking a sour beer today.
The sours.
And as soon as I opened it and poured it in the glass, this is a beer that you want to have with brunch. Like, it's so good. It's a little more tart, but I think that would be amazing. Like if you had like some like you wouldn't want it with anything sweet like French toast or pancakes, but if you had like an omelet or some steak and eggs and frites, if you want to be fancy instead of just French fries. I'm looking at you, Mimi's. Just because you call your things frites doesn't mean you're that fancy, man. But it's called Silken Up Rays, and on the label is a picture of just one of those, like, fold-out chase lounges that you can lay down on, you know, the three-piece ones.
Yeah.
It's a golden sour beer with guava and passion fruit aged in oak barrels that comes in at 7.9%.
Gotcha.
And it contains alcohol.
Ooh, not too shabby.
Passion fruit and pink guava come together in this barrel-aged golden sour for a real zinger. With a kiss of bright tartness lent by both beer and fruit, this beverage will send you straight to your happy place. This delightful potation contains hints of pink lemonade and ripe mangoes to balance the kick of tropical aromas. Don't forget your sunscreen while soaking up these rays. they tell you to cellar it at 55 degrees and serve it at 44 degrees. And then it's bottle conditioned.
Nice.
Oh, man. But yeah, it's definitely tastes like I'm drinking like fruit juice at a brunch. Fancy. It's like a beer mimosa.
Not too shabby, man.
I might have to buy like a couple of these and see if I can sneak it into a restaurant next time I go to brunch.
I mean, yeah. I would be able to get it in with all my BYOB rules.
Oh, yeah. You got weird rules out there. Like, but, you know, going back real quick, you can talk about the whole like things opening up with COVID. One of the things, like, it's weird how like the liquor laws seem to be less important. Like, they're able to, you're setting up tables outside, and before it was like, no, you can't drink outside because the kids might see you drinking, and that might be bad.
You're a bad influence, Daniel.
Right. So there's a lot of breweries that only had inside seating that are now allowed to have set up like roped off patio areas.
Mm.
Oh man, that would be nice if they were allowed to keep those up and like they didn't go back to like the stupid rules before.
Yeah.
So what you drinking there, Sheen?
From Moonlight Meadery, it's called Red Dress. This is a refreshing red currant mead with lambic style tartness. It's pretty good. It reminds me of like a sweet red wine without like the wine aftertaste.
Okay.
Like it's like it definitely has like the front taste of the mead, but you don't get any kind of like winey aftertaste from the wine yeast. It's got like some nice sweet and sour notes to it, and it just has like a very like the currant just like really kind of adds like another depth of flavor to it. Oh shit, this is 14%. Okay.
So that makes, I'm not at all shocked. I mean, and it does have wine characteristics, so that's about where wine sits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it. This says that it's, like, it's rated, like, it's not in the middle between dry and sweet. It says, like, it's, like, it tries to say it's more on the dry side, but, I mean, there's definitely sweet notes in there. So, yeah, that's definitely easy sipping, especially as you're hungover trying to still drink on the show. You're welcome, Danny.
You're welcome. Like, yeah, you'll be hopefully you're enjoying yourself by the end of the show. And you're just like, oh wow, it's all gone.
Exactly. I'm halfway done. I'm halfway to Happyville.
Exactly. Oh man. So a couple months ago, I was reading this article, and it was talking about the Eli Roth directed Borderlands movie that Lionsgate is making, mm-hmm. and then Avi and Ari Arad is producing it. Do those names sound familiar, Sean?
Eli does,
but you don't recognize the Arads.
No.
Basically, if you'd watched any of the old Marvel cartoons, and even like some of the, like maybe even like the first generations of Marvel movies like Spider-Man and stuff, mm-hmm. they were producers on those.
Gotcha.
Like they were basically handling the Marvel, they were the handlers of Marvel movies before Marvel decided to make their own movies and brought in Kevin Feige.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. Like the very old X-Men movies and stuff. No, that was Fox, so.
What's that?
I said that
was Fox. Yes.
Yeah, that was Fox.
But still, my point was that they were the ones that like did all the, handled every, their name was on every Marvel thing before Marvel got its own shit together. After having to sell everything off
to Disney.
No, when they declared bankruptcy in like the 90s and had to sell everything off to Sony and Fox.
Oh yeah.
So did you know that Sony actually had a chance to buy it all? Marvel properties for movies?
No, I did not.
But they only wanted Spider-Man?
Joke's on them now.
Right? They're like, no one's going to want to watch comic book movies.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, no one's going to watch bad comic book movies.
No, we don't want to watch bad ones. That's and the then, only thing.
And then the director, the Four Fantastic
mm-hmm.
movie. I guess he came out and said that he had wanted to cast the whole Storm family as being black. And said, but the studio pushed back and they wanted Kate Mara as Sue Storm, even though they had Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm. And the story was that he was adopted. And so apparently, but because he didn't want her on the movie, he was kind of a dick to her the whole time they were filming.
Wow. That's real professional.
Yes. And I guess he's also done a few other movies, and everyone's like, I guess he had this one movie, Chronicle, that was how he kind of got his pass, and it's supposed to be good. It's like, basically, it's like, what would happen if you were in high school and discovered you had superpowers? And they're like, yeah, have you watched it recently? It's not really that good. I don't think he even gets that pass anymore. But anyways, so the screenplay writer for the Borderlands movie is the guy that won the Emmy for writing Chernobyl. So it seems like it's got a pretty solid set team behind it, but this article I was reading was like basically pleading with Kate Blanchett not to take the role in the movie. And I guess she didn't listen because she got cast as Lilith, the siren.
Oh boy, so people are going to start getting crazy.
I don't know. But I think the way they have Lilith play in the games, I think Kate Blanchett is perfect because she's kind of more the straight character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she does have her, you know, whippy remarks every once in a while, but she's nowhere near, like, she's definitely, like, the opposite end of the spectrum of, like, Claptrap. You know, she's not going to be making fart jokes as Lilith.
True.
So I don't know, like, maybe it'll bring a little bit of classiness to the movie.
Hopefully.
I'm just wondering if Eli Roth is going to try to stick in like his strong point, which is basically torture porn.
Yeah, maybe he'll make up some more new ridiculous saying for the psychos.
Yes, true. That is, he does have that option with the psychos to just throw in all the torture porn because
they do. You know, yeah, they do some weird shit over there. So. Those psychos sure are psycho.
And then, so I guess it came out after Ruby Rose left Batwoman. They're not going to recast Kate Kane as Batwoman. They're going to throw a new character in the role.
Got you. So they're just going to make up like something on the fly.
Yes, and so I guess somehow Reddit got a hold of a leaked casting call of a description of the character, and basically it's a thing like a newbie superhero named Ryan Wilder, a woman in her mid-20s who was about to become Batwoman. She's likable, messy, a little goofy, and untamed. She's also nothing like Kate Kane, the woman who wore the bat suit before her. With no one in her life to keep her on track, Ryan spent years as a drug runner dodging the Gotham City Police Department and masked her pain with bad habits. A girl who would steal milk for an alley cat could also kill you with her bare hands. Ryan is the most dangerous type of fighter, highly skilled and wily undisciplined. An out lesbian, athletic, raw, passionate, fallible, and very much not your stereotypical all-American hero.
They had to keep her lesbian, though?
Right, so if Batwoman was a dinosaur, she'd be like a lotopus?
It's just like, hey, she's kind of like the old... It's just like, I don't know, like when you describe that, I just felt like it was, what's her name? Harley Quinn with extra steps is what I heard.
Pretty much, yeah. And this is like, and then you wonder why like movies get cast the way they do, because this is what gets sent out to agents and stuff. And so this is who they're going to like send to the casting call. Someone that quote unquote fits this description. And then it's like, well, we picked the best from our options, but all their options were very, like, of the same type.
They should just take that girl that plays Harley Quinn and make her play this role, because I feel like she would probably succeed.
Except she's making too much money as Harley Quinn. And apparently she has some creative say as Harley Quinn of what movies they make, because the rumor is that she's the reason why they made... Birds of Prey instead of Gotham City Sirens, because she wanted a movie with Huntress in it.
Really?
Yes.
Wasn't Huntress not even like really that good in it in the movie?
Actually, no. I liked how they filmed her because they made it seem very plausible of someone who, as a kid, was taken from her. You know, her family was killed, and then she was taken by like distant relatives and trained to be an assassin.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair enough then.
You know, so she didn't really have, like, it's like she was a little, like, awkward socially, like, because she didn't really necessarily hang out with, she didn't have friends, so she didn't really know how to interact with people.
Mm.
And the only thing was, like, when they kind of, like, messed up the costume, they kind of had a version of her costume that she's wearing now in the comics, but it looked like nylon and baggy. It almost looked like something you would buy a kid at, like, Target.
For Halloween.
For Halloween, yes. Final, with, like, the fake mask. I'm E.T. Yeah, I can tell by the paper plate that you have on your face that's painted with E.T.'s face on it. And the trash bag that's painted to look like E.T.'s body that you're wearing.
I'm Trash Man.
Yes, from another planet.
It's a always from another planet or another dimension. If you're exactly. talking about anime.
Speaking of Trashmen from another planet, I finally got a chance to watch Justice League Dark Apocalypse War.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie basically wrapped up this stage, or this version, not even stage, this version of DC's animated universe that started with Flashpoint however many years ago. I had it and then I lost it, like 10 years ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically all the teams that have been in all of the movies. So they had the Teen Titans, the Justice League Dark, the Suicide Squad made an appearance. The Justice League Dark, so like John Constantine and Edragon, the demon that speaks in rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts with Darkseid basically is like putting things in the Earth's galaxy that signifies that he's going to attack Earth again. Superman's like, we gotta attack him before he attacks us.
Yeah.
And then the credits happen. And then you come back and you're just dealing with... The rest of the movie is dealing with the aftermath. And... you know what? We didn't even talk about the Zack Snyder cut. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
So HBO Max, you know, just launched on May 27th.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that they announced is that they finally... they made a deal with Zack Snyder that his version of Justice League is going to get put on their... At next year.
Oh, wow. So, like, basically, instead of, like, the cut-up version that we got, we're going to see the true vision.
And it's funny because, like, he kind of came out and was, like, convinced, like, fanboys that, no, my version's almost done. And so that kind of, they went to Twitter like they did with, Sonic and Cass to get the butthole version released.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And so he's like... But then they announced that they're giving him $30 million. And it's like, wait, how is it almost done if you need $30 million?
Maybe editing?
I don't know. Well, one of the things they're going to do is they're going to give Superman his mustache so he doesn't have that weird upper lip issue.
Oh, that's good.
Which apparently that made the whole movie suck because Superman had a weird upper lip, so the movie was unwatchable for some people. I was like, you know what, like that looked a little weird, but of all the things, like that didn't ruin the movie. Yeah. There was many, many other things that did ruin the movie more.
Wasn't it because he was in another movie and he had to have a mustache?
He was in the Mission Impossible movie, yes.
Gotcha.
And so and the whole reason why Zack Snyder left the movie wasn't because like the studio fired him. He left the movie, I guess, not necessarily voluntarily, but for personal reasons. His daughter passed away.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that.
Right, and so it's not like it was, you know, Joss Whedon's fault or the studio's fault, but somehow Joss Whedon took the blame, and it's like, have you not seen any of his other movies? Like, but they have a synopsis. I was listening to this podcast, and they basically read a synopsis of what the Zack Snyder plan was, and it was pretty dark,
mm-hmm.
but sounded mm-hmm. interesting. And so going back to Justice League Apocalypse, where like reading people were like, this is what the Zack Snyder universe could have been. They just stole this from the Zack Snyder universe. And it's like, no, even going back to like the first Justice League movie, Justice League War, like that came out shortly after they announced they were making a Justice League movie. And I was like, and it was basically the story of the New 52 where they met and they had to fight Darkseid right away.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of came up where they thought the Flash or the Green Lantern showed up and he thought in Gotham and he thought Batman was behind it. And they end up fighting and then they're like, realize that neither of them have anything to do with it. And they're like, well, there's this alien in Metropolis. Maybe he knows about it. And so they go there and like Green Lantern and Superman are fighting and Batman just kind of watching and figuring it out. And Batman's like, stop fighting him. And Green Lantern's like, I can take him. He's like, that doesn't matter. And no, you can't. But he's not behind it. And so that before they released the animated version, that was the story arc that I wanted for the Justice League movie. If you're not going to put any character development, you know, into your movies the way Marvel did, if you're not going to have all the solo movies, that seemed like the best way to kind of get them together.
Yeah, just make them fight.
Well, that's how it always is in DC, which I never understood that whole Martha, why people complain about that Martha scene in Batman versus Superman.
Martha.
Because there's stupider reasons that they've stopped fighting in the comics than that. Like, I'm like, hey, that wasn't the best scene, but it made sense that they would stop fighting for that reason, especially with, you know, Batman's PTSD about his parents dying. Like, they could have done it worse ways. I mean, they could have done better, but they also could have done worse. But yeah, the Justice League Apocalypse War, like, it's rated R as an animated movie.
Nice.
For a reason. It's pretty gnarly to see what's going on in the movie. I highly recommend watching it. I don't think you necessarily need to watch any of the other movies. They don't, I mean, other than, like, unless you want to see how the teams are put together or some of the, like, why Constantine was kind of hesitant to join the Dark Justice League and stuff like that. But outside of that, like, you could fully understand what's going on in the movie and enjoy it without having seen anything else.
Okay.
But they also announced the cast of the next movie that's supposed to come out this summer called Superman Man of Tomorrow. So they have this actor named Darren Criss, who you probably don't know unless you're like into Broadway musicals or the movie or the TV show Glee.
Not into either of those.
He did have another role in a DC animated movie in the Batman vs. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie of last year. He was Raphael.
Hmm.
And in like one of the Transformers cartoons, he was Sideswipe. And then I guess he was in an episode of Archer. He played twins. Hmm. But mostly it's just Glee and some other stuff. Oh, he did the, like, I guess, on for the Supergirl, you know, on the CW shows or whatever their channel network they're on. They have their musical show, crossover shows.
He was on. No, I don't have cable. I don't know these things.
Well, but you are aware of, like musical shows, like they used to do back in the day with, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and stuff. Just, yeah. That's what it's like.
Yeah, no, I remember those random episodes.
So they do the same thing now, but with superheroes. So he played a character in a Flash and a Supergirl episode. Same character singing. So, but they got Zachary Quinto as Lex Luthor. No? Yes?
No.
No. He was... Did you watch the movie, the TV show Heroes?
I watched a little bit of the first season, but that was like a long time ago.
Okay, so I don't even think he was cast until, like, his character was, like, there, but, like, in the shadow. So he played Psylocke, or whatever, Psylar. That's not Psylar, not Psylocke. Psylar, the villain.
Yeah.
That, like, could steal people's powers, but he had to cut their head open.
Ooh. Oh, I do remember it getting a little bit dark. Somebody told me about that.
And he's also Spock in the new Star Trek.
Oh, I got you.
And then one of my super celebrity crushes as Lois Lane, Alexandra Daddario.
No, that name sounds familiar.
She was like in the Percy Jackson movies, and she was also in the Baywatch movie.
Oh, got you.
Yeah, she's brunette, blue eyes. You know, as the cool kids say, tiggle bitties.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be her voice, but whatever. And so, yeah, that movie is supposed to come out this summer, and it's supposed to be basically the relaunching of the DC animated universe. So I wonder if they're just going to do, like, the reboot they did after the New 52, where they kind of like, yeah, we kind of maybe messed up on the New 52.
Okay.
So
hopefully it's good. I mean, usually their animated movies are pretty decent.
And they're far better than any of their live-action movies. And I'm talking to a friend of the show, Solid Snack. I told him, texting with him, I told him that I think that this movie wrapped up the DC animated universe better than Endgame wrapped up the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Hmm. Fair enough.
So, challenge accepted on that one if you care to watch it and tell me what you think.
Show me what you got.
So I watched this movie, a couple movies. I watched one, Guns Akimbo. We talked about the trailer. It has Daniel Radcliffe. And one of the scenes in this movie has been memed a lot, especially on the Reddit. You know, because they show like a picture of him as like Harry Potter as the before something happens and then after when he goes crazy. So it's a scene where he's like standing in his bathrobe, and like his underwear and like a t-shirt holding guns. So he's basically like he works as a video game developer for like a cell phone game, and even he hates it, but it's a job. He's like, yeah, I work for one of those cell phone games that's designed to steal all your money. And he's just miserable little man who like basically the only joy of his life he gets is being a troll, trolling trolls on the internet.
Yeah.
And so basically he trolls the wrong person and he ends up being forcefully entered into this like battle royale type thing where like he has 24 hours to kill this person or he gets killed basically. And then the person that he's after gets told a different story of why she has to kill him.
Mm.
And so it's just basically him running through trying to like not die. It's pretty funny. It's not as good as I had hoped. But it is. There's quite a few funny moments in it.
It did look a little off. Like it's definitely a little different.
Right. Like you know, like they had Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And, you know, they've done stories like this in the past. Just you know, they always add a modern twist to it with like with tech or whatever's going on. So they got, you know, like he's being tracked through his phone, and they have drones following him. It's on camera. And it's just funny that, like, you know, the police have never found out about this.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, I would watch it if it was on, like, streaming. It's not a waste of time.
Gotcha. You don't need to go out and looking for it, but if it's available, it's worth a watch.
Yes, and then I watched a rock movie, The Skyscraper.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Right, and so basically he's like starts off as a law enforcement going in to break up a hostage situation. It goes awry, and then they, you know, flash forward years later, and he's trying to start up a private security consultation firm, and he gets hired by his one of the guys that was on his unit.
Mm-hmm.
Who's working for this company in Hong Kong that's trying to build like the world's tallest building.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this movie is like a bad version of Die Hard. Like, it's like if it's like someone's like, you know what, let's remake Die Hard but with less plot development and more just action.
Mm.
I mean, The Rock is The Rock in it, so he's not bad. But like, you find out too quick, you know, who the bad guys are and who's double crossing who. Like, there's no like build up or suspense, like all in the first, it's like an hour and a half-ish movie, and you find out in the first like 10 minutes everything that's going on pretty much.
Gotcha.
And then he has to rescue his family, and people don't think that his family's there because the residential part of the building isn't open yet.
Yeah.
And his family's the only family there because they're there as guests while he's doing his job.
Yeah,
and I know, like,
I mean, it was a little, like, it seemed like, even in the trailers, though, like, it seemed like action scenes were really ridiculous, and it was like, he's like, you know, there was, like, stuff going on with his one leg, and he's, like, trying to use his prosthetic as, like a tool to catch himself. Like, it was just like, man, this is too much. I don't know if I could drink this much Kool-Aid and get on board.
Right. But if you just want to get drunk and watch a mindless movie of The Rock, like, being The Rock at his most rockiest.
Did he do the eyebrow?
I believe. I don't remember that part. He was basically just like, you know, going off his character in like the Fast and the Furious, where family's the most important thing of all. Family above all. I have to save my family. I don't care about anything else. I'll do whatever I have to do to save my family. And of course, you know, the villain is like, everybody has a weakness. I know what your weakness is. It's your family.
No, not my family.
How could you have figured that out? And it's like, because you haven't shut up about them for the whole movie.
They'll get you.
And then I watched a movie, because I wanted my wife wanted to watch it, and I hadn't seen any of the versions of this movie, and I wanted to listen to an episode of a podcast called Nothing New, where they talk about movies and remakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll talk about like a version of the, like, original version of the movie, and then they'll talk about the remake version. And so I watched the movie Little Women. Or as Jeremy from The Quartering on YouTube would say, Little Whammon.
Little Whammon.
Whammon. Why are there... You know what? First of all, as a man, I must say, why is there no movie called Little Man? Little Men.
I don't know. We had Toy Soldiers. Doesn't that count?
Well, yeah, I guess.
I don't know. A few good men.
They're little and they are men. You're right.
I don't know.
But I'm surprised none of those like video YouTube people like Jeremy or any of those tried to make that argument. Even though this was based on a book that was written, you know, in the 1800s and has had movie versions, had at least like 7 different movie versions of it going back to the silent film era.
Mm.
So basically it's just the quote unquote Little Women. They're all sisters and they're like, you know, imagine that they're human beings and they have different life goals and different dreams and, but they all kind of come together as family when it needs to matter. And so this movie, it's like, she had to make a YouTube video on how to pronounce her name. Saoirse Ronan.
Mm-hmm.
She's in it. There's like a bunch of actresses. I don't remember all their names. I just know her and Emma Watson are in it.
The Emma.
Yeah, but then there's like 2 dudes, well, 3 dudes basically that are in it that are like they're trying to like vie for the love of the Little Women's, and they got the old neighbor, who's played by Chris Cooper, who's like one of those character actors where you're like, I don't recognize his name, and then you see his face, and you're like, oh, I've probably seen him in like 100 movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, which is why they made like a movie called I Recognize That Face, about like the character actors, like Danny Trejo was one of them that was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, fun fact, Danny Trejo said himself, if you're watching a movie with him and if his shirt is fully buttoned, he's a good guy, but if you see his tattoo, he's a bad guy.
Machete. I think we need another Machete movie.
Well, they did make a sequel.
Machete in Space, right?
Well, they made Machete 2, but they haven't made Machete in Space yet.
just stupid fun.
But after watching like the most recent version of Little Women, I kind of want to go back and watch the original one because I had like Winona Ryder and Christian Bale and like a bunch of Kirsten Dunst was in it. Claire Danes, like a bunch of actresses. Pretty much every actress in that movie went on shortly after to have a pretty major career.
Was this the 1994 film?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's see. Let's see the cast. Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of weird when you see, like, Christian Bale, like, and he's supposed to be probably, like, a young kid, but it's, like, his, you know, older self. So, interesting. Very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, that is kind of like, it's kind of interesting seeing who was in this one versus the newer one.
Right, it seems like one of those movies they remake every couple generations when they feel they have a strong enough group of young women actresses that can fill the roles.
Mm-hmm.
So, because even like the one sister, Amy... She was somebody, like, it's been in stuff.
What, Kirsten Dunst? Or you mean the new one?
In the new one.
Oh, gotcha. But fun fact, Kirsten Dunst plays Amy.
She does, and then so does Claire Danes, because in the movie, in the book, she's supposed to be the youngest sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why in the 1994 version, they cast Kirsten Dunst as, like, young her, because the movie does time jumps.
Gotcha.
And so... Oh, that's who she was. She was in the actress that played the new Amy. She played Paige in the wrestling movie Fighting With My Family.
Mm.
And she was also in the movie Midsommar. And so, yeah. Gotcha. And then she's gonna be playing the actress in Black Widow, you know, from the trailer where, you know, they show Scarlett Johansson. I can't think of her character name. Black Widow shows up and they're like fighting, and it's like, oh, can we talk about this like adults? And then the other actress is like, oh, that's what we are now.
We're adults? No.
So yeah, she's playing Yelena Belova in the Black Widow movie whenever that comes out.
Nice.
So she didn't do as much fighting in Little Women as she did in the fighting with my family and the Black Widow movie, but she does have those skills.
Got you. A certain set of skills?
A certain set of skills, yes. Oh man, speaking of certain sets of skills, Sean.
Is it time for weeb time?
It's time for the weebs.
Weeb, weeb, weeb. So, I'm halfway through watching an anime, and I haven't finished it yet. It's 24 episodes, but I thought it would be interesting enough to talk about. So it's called When They Cry. So this is the first season, and it looks like there's two other seasons. So this is supposed to be kind of like a horror, you know, an anime horror. So to me, I feel like it's just more suspenseful, more than just scary. But it's pretty ridiculous, Danny, to really kind of say. And it's really about, like, a transfer kid that goes to, like, a small town. And, like, it starts off, like, normal, where he's just hanging out with them. And then, like, they go to this annual fair that's supposed to be, like, you know, bring good wealth to the city. And what ends up happening, though, is, like, over the last 4 years, somebody's always died at the festival, and they talk about a curse. Now, in the first six episodes, the whole story plays out, and it's like, and it ends. And there's twists, and there's things that are going on, and it's just, like, ridiculous. And so I'm just, so at the end of episode six, I'm like, I'm very confused, because obviously, like, the main cast have serious events happen, and it's just like, what's going on? And then episode seven comes, and it's like that timeline never happened, and now it's a different timeline with other events happening, but the same thing is kind of happening, where it's like the festival is coming, and there's going to be, you know, they talk about the murders and stuff. Episode 7 through 12 finishes, and now it's like we're back to the same thing, where it's like, oh man, dude, like major events happened, and it's like, all right, so we're going to go all the way back and see kind of a different timeline of the same issues that are going on. So it's pretty interesting. I would recommend watching it. But don't watch the dub version. The English casting is very terrible and painful to watch.
That sucks, because, you know, friend of the show, JPG from the former Geek Say What network,
mm-hmm.
Who used to have his the show Ready Set Geek. Now it's they changed names, but he made the point, and I've kind of like understood that since then, where he's like, he kind of watches the dubbed when available. Oh, the new show is called In Quest of Geek.
Got you.
But he made the point of, like, you know, because there's that whole sub versus dubs fight in the anime community, and most people watch the subtitled episodes,
uh-huh.
that he'll watch dubs because it helps support the English voice actors.
Yeah.
You know, because if not enough people are watching the dubs, then it'll be harder for the voice actors to get jobs, which, valid point.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. But sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it's just who they cast and stuff. But, yeah, dude, Danny, the shit's, like, trippy as balls, though, man. Like, it's very hard to guess what's going to happen, like, through the stories. But it is definitely suspenseful. So, I don't think it's like the greatest thing out there. I mean, if you can't find it, you can't find it. But I mean, I think it's worth a watch, though, if you can find it.
Yeah, I mean, it's on VRV for sure. Yeah, it's on the High Dive, which I know how much you love the High Dive.
Woo! High Dive. Do-do-do-do, High Dive, yeah.
So, I watched this anime. It took me a little bit longer to watch because I ended up watching it with my wife.
Yes.
My wife.
Your waifu. No, just the wife.
Just my real wife, not my waifu. It's called, If It's For My Daughter, I Would Even Defeat a Demon Lord. Which, for some reason, last week when I was telling you about it, I kept saying Dragon Lord. I got dragon stuck in my head.
I don't know, man. Dragons are in Skyrim, not in this anime.
Actually, there are dragons in the anime.
Oh, yeah, it's probably... Yeah, I think you're right.
Did you watch any of it?
I did finish it.
You did? Okay, yeah. So... Even, like, because I was watching my wife, and it was very sweet. And even, like, when it ended, my wife's like, wait, that's it? Like, you know, there's not more to the story? She's like, I really hope they make a sequel, because they need to, like, do stuff.
It didn't, like, nothing happened.
Right, it was just basically, like, because even, like, as it's wrapping, getting close to the end, I'm like, this whole thing can't be about, like, just how cute she is. I mean, there was a couple moments, like, drama, like, when she almost got abducted because, you know... people of her race bring more money in the slave trade or the whatever trade.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all just like fake drama. Like
it was like 12 episodes, but it was all filler.
It was all filler. Just how cute this girl is. Like, and she's like, you know, young, but like everyone's just like, oh my God, she's adorable. It's like the young dragon in Dragon Maid, how the friend was just like, oh my God, she's so kawaii. But yeah. Like everyone reacted that way to her.
Yeah, and it's 12 episodes.
Of that?
Yeah. It was almost to the point where I was like, do I just stop? Like
well, like the intro promised fighting. Like the trailer? Like not the trailer, but the intro video promised fighting. Cuz it was like, I mean, they show it once in the show where she is able to give him like a magical shield to where he could like be safe from the enemies, but they only did it so he didn't get, like, the stinky slime on him from the magical beasts that are easy to kill versus in the opening credits scene where they're actually fighting a dragon.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's pretty disappointing. And you know what the sad part is about this? There's actually some rich culture and, like story, like, behind the scenes that's going on that would be very interesting to find out about. But it was, like, completely, like... yeah, this is my backstory about, you know, this stuff. All right, now let's go shopping and find you a cute dress.
Right, or, yeah, you know, the people on the east side of town are different, are like more, like that's like the residents and all that, versus the west side of town where the adventurers and outsiders and scary people live. And, oh, by the way, are you going to school? No, but I don't want you to go to school. I'll miss you.
It was like, here's an interesting point that we could go off of. Let's ruin it with more random story about her. So, you know, you brought up the city. I thought the demon world was, or the devil's, like, ruling was interesting. How there's, like, 7 or 8 demon lords and, like, their story and how, like, 3 of them are, like, this crazy powerful, like, destructive force. But it's, like, briefly mentioned. And then, like, his background where, you know, he was supposed to be, like, chieftain and stuff. And, you know, they kind of explained a little bit more about, like, his background. But it was just, like, dude, it seemed like there was so much. They built, like, an interesting world just to not tell an interesting story.
Yes, they spent so much time telling the story and then to, like, just go back to how cute the girl is. And how it's like, oh! There's dogs? And it's like, yeah, but the dogs don't like anybody but the people that, like, train them. Oh, wow, imagine that. All the dogs love her.
Shocking development.
like the best scene was when she was at school and the one teacher, like, flipped out on her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guardian guy, like, went in there and gave his best, like, angry voice. Like, he didn't, like, raise his voice, he didn't yell, but he basically threatened them enough that they were, like, they did what he said.
Yeah, he's like, you don't know who I am, but I know these people. and I could really get some stuff wrong. And just like the, and then just blasting, it was like, all right, kick this person out. Like, we're not dealing with this guy.
Yeah, the gate was a lady, by the way. Mm-hmm. Even though the character was like drawn to look like weird.
I just meant like they're not dealing with the dad.
Oh, the dad. That's what
you're
saying.
He's too
scared. But, like, the last scene of all that was, like, the gates just being shut on her face, the teacher's face. She's been excommunicated from the church. You're welcome. But, yeah, there was... Like, they could do so much. And it got to the point where, like, I told Jody, and I'm like, you know, this show is really good when the Guardian isn't on there. And then, literally, like, the next scene... The one guy, the Mr. Jill that she calls him, like Jill DeBrand or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
He was like, part of the fun coming to the pub now is to watch his ridiculous reactions. It's like, okay, they addressed it at least in the show. But even the people in the show realize that he's like probably going overboard on just the shit that he does and how much he misses her and whatever.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It'd be hard to watch a second season of this, man, to be honest. I don't know if I could... I really don't recommend it unless they change something in season two to actually give us fun, interesting story.
I would probably watch a couple episodes in season two just to give it a chance, because what if they actually decide to, like, maybe she's a little bit older and they decide to branch out into the lore more as opposed to just her being cute? But... And I wouldn't go so far as to say I wouldn't watch this at all, mm-hmm. but this is definitely something that you could safely watch either with your kids or just let your kids watch alone.
Yeah.
It's anime for the kids.
True.
Speaking of for the kids, Sean.
For the kids! For the kids! It's Skyrim time. So, Danny, on my quest of waiting for Destiny not to be a disappointment and to watch them, you know, not to sidetrack, but to do a 90-minute video.
I wanted to talk about this, like, real quick. What the hell happened? I know they blew up something.
Basically, they shot rockets at the ship from the villain from the base game. So they shot the ship down, the Almighty, and then it, like, crash-landed and almost hit the tower and, like, killed people. But, you know, it didn't. And then there was a cutscene where Savala makes, like, a motivational speech and blah, blah, blah. And I guess there was some text you could read. But, yeah, nothing really happened.
Yeah, and I also heard that people were pissed because it was, like, 30 or 40 minutes late from when they announced the start time, and they also didn't announce it until, like, literally the day before.
Yeah, that was kind of just something that got, like, tweeted out, like, don't make sure you're at the tower at this time, blah, 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 and it was kind of, I don't know, it just, like, it seemed like they just tried to get an event going, but, like, I don't know what the point was of it. Tuesday, we do find out what the next season about, and we do know it's about Drifter and Eris Morn, so two of the more interesting characters, so, you know, it's like, instead of having zero hope, I have one hope now. So.
Well, and then you're only setting yourself up to have one hope smashed.
Exactly.
Like Destiny, like the Hulk of hope.
Yeah, I mean...
Smash!
I mean, this is what my thing is going to be. Are we going to have, like, the same recycled content in this next season too, because it was like they developed way too, they already went down this far down the hole. Like, here's the shitty summer content before they talk about what actually is happening for, you know, year four in September.
And is this, I was reading something on Reddit kind of talking about, like, you know, the tower thing being late and stuff, and like, is this new season the quote unquote secret season? Because I saw somebody mention a secret season.
Well, typically they usually will say season of the, like, and they'll use some kind of cover up because they don't want to spoil the name yet. I assume it's because they're not ready to officially talk about it. But they've been talking about, like, they've been calling it like season of the, and then it's like a placard that says, like, eradicated. So they talk. It's like a code for the season, the new season. So that way they could at least say something like, but it's really not the official name. So I think somebody had speculation about it. It was coming out. It was like Season of the Secret, or I can't remember what it was. But I mean, we, like I said, we won't know anything because all they gave us was like 10-second, 7-second like teasers of Drifter and Eris Morn like traveling somewhere. So who knows what's going to happen on Tuesday?
I do, Sean. I'm going to call it right now.
Disappointment and recycled content?
Yes. 100% on both points.
Honestly, if they could just like add a couple Gambit maps and whatnot, I'd be okay with it. Because that's honestly when I want to start playing Destiny again, but I just want to play PvP and Gambit. I don't want to really do like, I'm past the point where it's like, I don't really care about, you know, the story or doing anything for the season. I just want to play the PvP stuff because it's fun, and I don't really, I'm not really looking for any kind of upgrade right now for it.
No.
So we'll
see. Speaking of no upgrades and things being recycled, Sean, back to Skyrim.
Skyrim. So I was playing it on my LG TV fridge or mini fridge.
You're playing it on your microwave.
No. So I bought the collector's edition a while ago for my Xbox. So this comes with all the DLC, and this is when this is the first time that you've been able to put mods on the game for consoles. So
did you play the Dragon is Thomas the Train mod?
No, I didn't go looking for it. It's just some of those are just more fun to watch than more fun to play. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So
I know a guy that he's like hardcore like console gamer and talks about how much I mean hardcore PC gamer and talks about how much consoles suck, and he was playing Skyrim with all the mods, but like I'd be talking to him on Discord because I started playing with him on Final Fantasy 14.
Mm-hmm.
And so he still jump in on the Discord chats, but not play 14. So he's playing Skyrim, and like he would be like, he's like, okay, it's booting up, it's this. Oh man, it crashed again. Oh man, like he'd be getting all pissed, and I'm like, you know what doesn't crash?
Console games.
Consoles. that didn't help his frustration in any way, shape, or form, like I thought it would.
I feel like it wasn't. I don't think you tried to attempt to. Make him feel better, though.
It made me feel better. Does that count?
That's all that matters, buddy.
Exactly.
So this isn't going to be a traditional review, because Skyrim has been out for a long time. Danny, you haven't played Skyrim, right?
No, don't spoil anything for people like me who haven't played it and still might.
I was like, you're still going to try? Okay.
I just haven't come out with it on a system that I want to play it on yet. I'm waiting for it to come out on my cell phone so I can play it at work and not do anything.
On your Vita?
On my cell phone.
That's fair. Probably someday. So Skyrim has a very good leveling system, has a very good, you know, you swing your single-handed sword multiple times and do some damage, you level up. It makes it so you level up your single-handed swing. And very, very easy leveling up system, right? So the more, if you do certain things, you only level up on those things. The branch trees are good. The combat system is fun. So we got really the basics kind of out of the way. A lot of, you know, we already know it's already been talked about a lot that, you know, specializing doesn't really matter for the story, because, like, you could be, like, a heavy, you know, heavy armor Nord that just swings a sword around, but then you could end up being, like, the Thieves Guild Master, the Mage's Master, because they didn't put, like, any kind of constraints to make it to where you had to be at least somewhat magical or somewhat stealthy to do those missions. So it is kind of irritating the way that, you know, your character is just like overall can overall do any storyline without any kind of like prereq on leveling or anything. So That's the terrible side. Some of the storylines are bad. Like the Mages Guild is a complete garbage storyline. That's boring. It's like a chore to play through. Some of the story content is just definitely a step back if you compare it to Elder Scrolls 4, which was Oblivion. So that part's done. It was kind of fun. In this playthrough, though, I'm playing as an orc with a two-handed sword and heavy armor and whatnot. And because I'm a little bit bored, I've been starting to change it up and leveling up my sneak and arrow to do other things just to make it to where I could level. I'm going to just try to level up as many skills as possible. And I've been exploring random dungeons and stuff. So when you get into the lore, though, Danny, I have a little bit... I realized I had a complaint. So there's a city called Winterfell up north in the Snowy Mountain. It's by the Mages College. And at one point in history, the town was like surrounding the Mages Castle. And basically, the whole cliffs, like, fell underneath the town, and like the whole half the town, or like 75% of the town is destroyed, but somehow the Mages College is like still standing. It's like floating in the air. So like the rest of the town is like a couple buildings. And so like everybody in Winterfell, like that's not a magic person, like hates magic people because of this. So it's like, okay, I get it. So why didn't any of the people in charge of Winterfell like just start building more properties around? They just went, I was like telling my girlfriend, I was like, this Jarl over here in charge of Winterfell, what a lazy asshole. He's just sitting on his throne. He's in charge of like five people, and you know, over the last like, you know, 100 years or so, they could have just been building a house like every other week and started recruiting, building more businesses, rebuilding the town. You know what they did, though? They just cried. They just, like, drank mead and blamed the mages. Like, what kind of lazy people are in this town?
Right? Well, I mean, they're waiting for you to come and save the day.
No, I'm gonna be. Remember, I'm an orc that has a giant axe, heavy armor, but I'm gonna somehow be the in charge of the Mages Guild, so they're gonna hate me too.
I mean, yeah. Why not?
It was like one of the weird dawning moments that I was thinking about. Because I guess when you're playing like a game multiple times through, you like start thinking about and challenging the lore in different ways on, dude, why this? Shit, stupid. Who are these people? And then, you know, it was fun. It's fun running around just like slaughtering things with giant weapons and whatnot. And then, you know, one of my favorite, like, because you're dragonborn, so that means you could speak dragon, and that's part of your powers. There's one that's like a push. Like if you like use your shout, you could like, it does like a unrelenting force, and it just like pushes people. So it's really good for staggering people. So I could run up and like hit them so they can't cast magic or anything. But I gotta find like the third part of the shout, because when you have the third part of the shout, you could actually like launch people into like off bridges and stuff. It's like the best part of the game.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, it's always fun when you can kill people in non-standard ways, especially if you're playing a game that you've replayed multiple times.
No, exactly. I do like the mods though. Multiple people or groups of people, depending, like there's a company called or a team called Beyond Skyrim that makes like expansion packs. But basically it's like you could download these mods, but all a mod does is just adds new story content. Like they wrote and built like a new part of the like land for you to explore. Like there's one where you go underneath the ground and you go into the dwarven ruins, and then there's one called Bruma, which you go into an old city from the previous game. I haven't figured out how to get to start because it just never works for me for whatever reason. Might just be the mod might just be shitty. But there's like I downloaded a couple other ones that I'm looking forward to. There's like a new like undercover like walkway, and you could go get like a specialized house and whatnot. And then like one of my favorite mods is that you get to restart your, you get to change your origin story. So you know how the meme is like something happens and then it like something will go dark and then it'll come up and it's Skyrim and you're in the wagon going, oh, you're finally awake.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's from Skyrim. So that's the original storyline. So with this mod, though, you could like start off like in a guild. You could start, you could own land. You could be like, you could be a pirate or a bandit somewhere, or you could own property here or there. Like, there's all sorts of like random like stories beginnings that you could use. So it's pretty fun. And then the another one I like is it took like one of the properties you could buy in the first city called Whiterun, and your house is called Breeze Home. And what they did is they modded the Breeze Home to be have like all sorts of like fancy like collector items and tools and chests and stuff. So like if you go into the one room on the bottom level, you could hang like all your like specialized armors and like special, and when I say special armor, it's like the dragon priest mask that you have to kill in the game and put on. You could like you get to take their mask, and if you wear the mask, they usually have like very powerful enchantments on the mask, so those are pretty good. And then the Daedra armor or weapons from around the world, you do like different quests for these demon lords, and then you could hang that stuff up too. And then just like in the Thieves Guild, you get like certain gear at the very end for completing it. So it's like a nice, it's like a very like, it's a very nice trophy room for somebody who wants to really just kind of like have everything on display of like all your achievements in the game. So that's like my other really favorite mod about it, about Skyrim.
Nice. Like, I mean, it is, it's, you know, they talk about, you know, the re-releasing Skyrim, but it's not like they're just flat out re-releasing it. They're at least making some changes to the game, like graphics wise, or adding, like you said, adding the mods to the console.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And I mean, I think they added the mods. That was like the next thing that they kind of did, and they are releasing it to everything, but it's just like, it's such an easy casual game to play though. Like you could just, you know, put it down and then just come back and anytime, and it's just very nice to play. So like that's the part of the reason why I wanted to play it, because it was just, it's an easy game to play for a little bit, and then like I could stop playing for a little bit and go do something else. So, but I mean that, right. Yeah, I mean that's like my biggest, that's my favorite thing about it. So, I mean, I'm looking online right now. Like, you could buy the game for like easily like $20, and I'm sure it goes on sale too anytime. So, I mean, this is like this is like a very good $20 game. If especially buying the complete edition with all the expansion packs and stuff, because I thought the Dragonborn expansion pack was really on point, because you leave Skyrim and you go to another area and you fight this other Dragonborn that's like came back, and he's trying to take over, and he's working with a demon lord to like kind of manipulate his death and come back and kind of take over. So it's but there's all sorts of different stuff going on there. It's like that map is like I think a quarter of the size of Skyrim. So it's like a big plot of land that you get to explore. So, and I haven't even started doing that. I'm like at level 32 and I haven't even like finished any main, I haven't finished the main campaign, and I still haven't finished like any of the major guild quests either.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a small game, you know, before. But I know like a lot of people like were happy when they ported it to the Switch. Like you said, it's an easy casual game where, you know, if you're like if you are somebody that, you know, takes public transportation for a commute or flies somewhere, or just, you know, has time to play, that you can just pick it up anywhere you want on the Switch, or you can play it at home if you want.
It was kind of funny because there was like a grandma that would do streaming YouTube videos of her playing Skyrim. She'd be just like out in the fields, like picking and like just brewing potions and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I saw like she would show up on the Reddit.
Yeah, no. So I mean, everybody could play. I mean, even grandmas want to play Skyrim. That's how solid it is. It's just kind of funny though, because like a lot of people like talk trash on Skyrim now.
Well, yeah, because they just feel like, you know, they'd want a new game.
Oh yeah, I mean, and we're getting one. I mean, the thing I think about too is like, is it going to be like, you know, one of the new games that comes out with the new consoles, or is it gonna give it like the consoles like a year so they could really beef up the graphics on this next one? So, I mean, I definitely want to, you know, take the week off to play, just because the game is gonna be probably a huge game, so it'll take a while to get through it.
Right, and I know like this week we were supposed to talk about supposed to talk about the PlayStation information that was supposed to happen this last week, but yeah, they postponed that with everything going on. And so, you know, it's funny because I saw people posting on social media when they postponed the event. They're like, oh, they're Sony's delaying the PlayStation 5. And, and that's kind of already been going around anyways, because I guess reports that Microsoft has already started production on the Xbox, new Xbox, and PlayStation hasn't given any information, and there's been no, you know, and there's like been no information on the console really, and there's been no reports of it being, you know, started to be produced. And it's like, so when they announced the delay of this, they're like, see, this just proves that they're postponing the release of the console. And it's like, no, they postponed the announce of the release of the console,
mm-hmm,
which usually didn't take place until E3 anyways. You know, like,
yeah,
like, it would be like by the time you're hearing this, it would have been the week of E3. But from when we're recording, it's like a week or two away. So they're not behind schedule. They're literally right on schedule, right?
to me, it sounds like it.
Right. It just, the sky is falling. People like to say that the sky is falling.
Exactly. So just doing some quick research. So Todd said that we will not see Elder Scrolls until after Starfield. So Starfield is going to be a space RPG. So
nice. Will they have space dragons and space dragon shouts? In space, no dragons can hear you shout.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I got no comeback to that.
Because you know Skyrim needs space dragon shouts.
correct. Nobody, no, dragons can't hear your shouts in space.
unless you're like on the same communication network in your spacesuit.
Exactly. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see when Starfield comes out. We'll see when we get Elder Scrolls 6. It'll happen at some point.
Right, I saw like a meme on Reddit, and it was like, it's been as long between, since Skyrim has been released, since it was since like from the first game in the series to Skyrim.
Yeah. I mean, here's to hope that, you know, Starfield is just a really good RPG, though, that everybody will enjoy playing.
You know nobody will enjoy it, because it's not...
It's not Fallout or Elder Scrolls.
It's not. I was gonna say it's not Elder Scrolls. Yeah, people aren't gonna like it because there's no dragons. That's why I was like, "Is there space dragons? Because if not, then the gamers will hate it."
Fair enough.
It's just a better version of Destiny.
We'll see. That's what they said about the other one too.
Anthem.
Anthem.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, Anthem, how you screwed up.
Dude, that game had so much potential to be so much fun with like the suit and the flying and just the different types of suits that did different jobs. Like basically you had your own like Hulkbuster and your, Mark 42 and different suits or whatever, like Iron Man suits and the flying and stuff. Oh man. Like the combat and the flying in that game was so satisfactory. It's just actually like playing the missions was just
I thought
literally the same mission over and over again.
I'm surprised it was as small as it was. Like
That's what
even
she said.
e Because even Destiny 1 had like, a group of strikes to do. It had a raid. It had PvP. It had like a chunk of things already. Like it had less content than Destiny 1 vanilla.
And that was like one of the like most hated like releases ever.
Exactly.
And it's like that Simpsons meme from the movie where Barton's talking to Bart and Homer are talking, and Bart's like, "This is the worst day of my life," and Homer's like, "The worst day of your life
So
so
far.
far." And so someone's like, De "Vanilla Destiny is the worst open world, MMO space shooter ever," and then Homer. So far,
So
and then
far.
Anthem comes out, and you're like, okay, this has replaced Destiny.
I feel like Anthem was so bad, like people have already forgotten it and still use Destiny as like the bottom mark.
Mean like how people like refuse to discuss the Avatar: The Last Airbender movie?
Like there's bad movies, but then there's like unspeakable movies. Like you just don't bring it up.
Right, at least not in a mixed pub crowd. You don't want to be that jerk.
Exactly. What? There's no Avatar movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, and that's literally what people say.
Oh,
Like I can't, it's like what cartoon from your kids from when you were a child from your childhood would you like to see made into a movie? And they're like Avatar. I would love to see an Avatar movie for the first time.
yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to see how the Netflix is live action, how that's gonna turn out.
I mean, it can't be any worse, can it? Shall I hold my beer?
Hold my beer. I mean, I would imagine that if they're doing it as a TV show, they could actually have multiple hours. So I think they could definitely, if they're doing like hour-long episodes, I mean, there's only 20 books in the first season. So I mean, you're talking 22 minutes by 20. There's some filler episodes and stuff. I think if you could definitely have a legit first season and cover the whole water book and still make it good without having, I think it could be done. I think it could be done. So, I mean,
Right.
I have faith of two.
Well, speaking of like TV show or whatever, I guess real quick, I forgot to mention this during when we were talking about the Snyder Cut that they haven't figured out if they're going to release it as a movie or like a mini series because it's supposed to be 4 hours long.
Wait, the which one? Oh, the animated one? Or,
No, no,
oh, got you.
the Snyder Cut of Justice League. That he's going to get $30 million to do reshoots. Oh, and part of that is going to be to replace the mustache. Oh, and none of the actors are going to be available for any of the to do any of the reshoots either.
It's all gonna be like fill-ins?
I guess, or cutting room floor stuff like they did when like Jason Lee died during the filming of The Crow, or Brandon Lee died and Bruce Lee, I mean, died in his movie, and not Jason Lee but Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I guess it would have to be like two movies, like 2 2-hour movies.
Or like
Justice League Part 1, Part 2.
or six like episodes miniseries.
Could be. We'll see.
And they did announce that Henry Cavill signed some sort of a deal to be in future DC movies. And they said it seemed more like cameo stuff, like how he was supposed to be in Shazam.
Shazam!
But he didn't, so they just showed Superman from like the shoulders down.
Well played. Well played.
Exactly.
Speaking of well played, It was another fun-filled episode today, talking about all sorts of crazy-ass shit. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all those fantastic places. Make sure you rate us. Say it's your favorite place to get your news, your weekly news on random shit that Danny looks up.
Yes. You know, you mean research? I research?
Pretty much.
At least one of us does something, right?
Hey, I'm drinking some mead, so I'm doing something.
Yeah.
I'm helping. I'm playing Skyrim.
I'm helping.
I'm playing it on my TV or on my refrigerator.
On your refrigerator?
Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Later.